Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, sports fans. It is Sunday, October 5th, 2014, and the only question I have is, how are we going to fit all of what I have to talk about into an hour and a half? And how is everyone doing today? I am your host, Ryan Stern. Welcome to a new episode of Beyond the Bench. We are brought to you by BackSportsPage.com. Everyone, make sure you go check out BackSportsPage.com. Follow them on Twitter at BackSportsPage and on Facebook, Facebook.com/BackSportsPage. I am your host once again, Ryan Stern. You can follow me on Twitter at rstern33bsp. The show is Beyond the Bench. Follow on Twitter at Beyond the Bench. Go to Facebook.com/BeyondTheBenchBSP. We have a jam-packed show today. What a week we've had in sports. If you want to call the show, we have plenty of lines open. We will be taking phone calls based on whether or not you want whatever you want to talk about. 760-283-0846, 760-283-0846. What do we start with? Do we start with the insanity that was college football yesterday? Do we start with the MLB playoffs, which have been nuts? Do we start with the NFL? Speaking of NFL, we will have Charles Curtis of NJ.com joining us at 9:20. We'll be discussing New York Giants with him, breaking down which Giants team are we going to be seeing moving forward. But we're going to open up the show with what happened in college football yesterday. I know we normally are just an NFL, but a lot of what happens in college football ends up affecting the NFL because it's these players that are coming up. And just to see some of the intensity, to see some of the heart and desire that some of these kids showed, especially yesterday, 5 top 8 teams. First time ever in NCAA history since they've had the AP poll. 5 top 8 teams lose in the same week. And it all began Thursday with Arizona. Arizona has Oregon's number. That's now 2 years in a row that they've brought down an undefeated Oregon team. And there's a good shot now that Oregon is out of the national championship picture, even with the 4-team playoff, because they're going to need a lot of teams to lose, because there are a lot of good teams that don't have any blemishes on their record as of right now. And I'm sorry, but I know they were preseason ranked number one, and they haven't lost yet, so it's tough to knock them down. But can we please stop handing Florida State the national championship and the number one ranking in the nation? They haven't played anybody. They had one decent opponent. And that was Clemson. And this isn't even a great Clemson team. There are plenty of other real good football teams, and a lot of them proved it yesterday by taking down higher-ranked opponents. Look at what Ole Miss did yesterday to Alabama. And I'm still not as a firm believer on Ole Miss, even though, like I said, one, I didn't think that this was Alabama's best team that they've put out in the probably the past decade. I thought they were good. I didn't think that they were as good as they have been. But they didn't, Ole Miss didn't really impress me. They didn't overwhelm me, even though they came out and they beat. I thought that they'd have a good shot to beat Alabama. The one team that really surprised me, and a team that looks really good, is Mississippi State. The way that they were able to really confuse the Texas A&M offense defensively yesterday. And this Dak Prescott, the Mississippi State quarterback, he's the real deal, and he entered himself into the Heisman talk yesterday. Big game, number six team in the nation, and comes out and has five total touchdowns. And Mississippi State goes on and pretty much shocks. I think that was one of the more shocking results, even though Mississippi State is a good team and they were number 12 in the nation. But I think a lot of people are still hung up on the Johnny Manziel Texas A&M. And that's not what they are anymore. Kenny Hill, everyone remember it was Kenny Football, Kenny Thrill earlier on in the year. And he made some key mistakes yesterday, especially in the first half. He did not have a good first half whatsoever. But Mississippi State is going to end up being a force. I think I can easily see them being one of the four teams because they're loaded throughout. They've got a tremendous offense. They've got a better defense than what ended up being the final number that Texas A&M put up yesterday. They ended up putting up 31. That's because you saw them go into prevent. They allowed a lot of underneath stuff towards the end, and just because they didn't have to play with this up-tempo, and they wanted to make sure that they didn't get beat over the top for quick scores. So they allowed the underneath stuff. Texas A&M scores 21 in the second half. 14 in the fourth quarter. But that's only, but like I said, it's only because they were allowing everything underneath and they were doing what was necessary to win. Mississippi State's for real. Oregon, they lose. I said they lost to Arizona. Alabama, they lose to Ole Miss. Number four, Oklahoma, they lose to TCU in Texas. The winning score was on a pick six. Trevor Knight was having a real good game, and midway through the fourth quarter, throws a pick six. That ends up being the winning score. A lot of people really like TCU. And they're always one of those schools that had a lot taken away from them because of the conference they played in. And I know the Big 12 isn't what the Big 12 used to be, but there are still some good teams in the Big 12. And they took down the best that the Big 12 had to offer yesterday, Oklahoma. They're going to have to play Baylor. And if that's going to be a great matchup, because I'm not sold on Baylor. They beat Texas yesterday 28-7. Texas is nowhere close to what we expect Texas to be. Nowhere close. But I think that TCU, if they can go through the Big 12, and I know they came in yesterday at number 25, all rankings are going to look completely different this week. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see a team like LSU, and even though they lost to a number 5 team and they were ranked 15, I wouldn't be surprised if you see LSU drop out of the top 25. That's how bad they look. And it's the second time that they looked really bad against a good team. I don't think they deserve to be in the top 25 if you can't run with the big dogs. LSU, I think, is going to drop out. At least that's how I would put them. Utah. And Utah just wanted to give that game away against UCLA. UCLA lined up for a big field goal. They were down 2 with a few seconds left. They miss it, gets called back for running into the kicker. They get another chance at it, miss again. Utah's is better than people think, too. But I want to know what you think. Who do you think is going to be the top 4 coming into this week? With the 5 top 8 teams, and you have to assume Florida State's going to be in there, and Auburn's going to be in there. So those are the 2 locks for the top 4. The other 2 spots, I think, are right now they're up for either Baylor, Notre Dame, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss. I think any 4 of those teams, it wouldn't shock me if any of those 4 teams end up in the top 4. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see a team like Mississippi State hop over a couple and get to number 3, and Notre Dame end up at number 4. I think they hop over Baylor, one, because they put up a better win against a better team. It's plain and simple. Texas is not good. Stanford is. Stanford's defense is legit. And Notre Dame comes down, and when you really needed it, Everett Golson. This is now the second week in a row that, and I may give Everett Golson a little bit of a pass yesterday because of the conditions that they were playing in. That was a sloppy field. And it was wet and cold. It was not good conditions. But when you needed him to come through, he came through. But this was the second week in a row that he didn't look at his best. Now they have one more game against North Carolina next week, and that'll be their final tune-up for when they start to get into the heavy part of their schedule. Because once it gets into the heavy part of their schedule, and even though, don't take anything away from Stanford. Stanford's a good team. But the ending to Notre Dame's schedule, after North Carolina, they have Florida State at Florida State. So that's going to determine, that may be one of the games that will tell you which of those 2 teams belongs in the top 4. Because going into that game, both teams are going to be in the top five. Then they have to go at Navy. And Navy always gives the Irish a tough game. Then they have to go to Arizona State, who beat USC at USC yesterday. Then they have to go to, and Northwestern comes in. Northwestern beats Wisconsin yesterday. Then you get Louisville, and then USC. So there are a lot of people that give Notre Dame a lot of rap for sometimes having a cookie schedule. This is not a cookie schedule. Did we think that at the beginning of the season that Michigan was going to be the dreck that they've shown so far? No. You can't take that away from Notre Dame. Purdue is a rivalry. They'll always play. They're in state, and you can't take that away from them. But you look at teams, Stanford, Florida State, Arizona State, Northwestern, USC. That's five really good teams. Five really good teams. Probably there aren't many teams, and there aren't any teams outside the SEC that can say that they have as tough a schedule as Notre Dame. It's just not going to happen. Notre Dame's schedule is a good one. It's a tough one. And if Notre Dame wants to get into the national championship picture, if they're undefeated at the end of their schedule, they're deserved of being in the top four playoff. If they go through that the second half of their schedule unscathed. 760-283-0846. We're going to have Charles Curtis joining us in just a few minutes. There was one other game that I wanted to get into, and that was the USC. I brought it up while I was going over the Notre Dame schedule. USC, Arizona State. Arizona State's pretty good. And last year, yeah, the Notre Dame game that was just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and it really was a national showcase for Arizona State. But what they did was they showed you that USC is not. Everyone thought that USC was going, that this was going to be the year that they were going to be able to take the next step. They're not there yet. They're on their way because it's USC and they're still coming off the sanctions where they had the bowl controversy that they weren't allowed to go to after the Reggie Bush incident. They're on their way, but they're not as good as some people think they are. And how are you going to, I don't understand teams that give up these Hail Marys at the end of the game. You know it's coming. Why do you not put your big wide receivers back there at the goal line? You can't have in jump ball situations these 5'10 cornerbacks trying to knock the ball away from 6'3 receivers. That was one of the reasons why in the NFC Championship game a couple years ago, one of the plays that turned that game was the Hail Mary at the end of the first half when Hakeem Nicks came down with the ball in Green Bay. That was a turning point of that game. And the reason why is because Hakeem Nicks had a big size advantage over the defensive backs. I just don't understand. You have all of these weapons, and all they're going to be doing is sitting at the goal. It's not like they have to read a route. All they have to do is sit at the goal line and go up and either catch the ball or knock it away from someone who is their size. You can teach it to them. That's not difficult. I can't stand when I see, because I love defense. I love defense, and it kills me when defensive scheming just isn't up to par. And one way that scheming gets up to par is by putting these big wide receivers in on Hail Mary situations. Only because it makes sense. We're going to switch our attentions. As I said, we're going to have Charles Curtis joining us in just a couple minutes. Turn our attention to week 5 of the NFL. My picks last week, coming off of a 10-3 week. It was a good week for me with my picks, looking to continue the string. Open up with the Saints taking on the Buccaneers. The Saints are one of the more shocking teams for me. I don't understand how a team can be as good as they are at home and be as bad as they are on the road. It can't just be the crowd noise. It can't be the turf. Because you look at what happened last week with their game against the Cowboys. I thought that because of the turf, because it normally isn't a raucous crowd that goes into AT&T Stadium in Dallas. What is it about the road that just brings the Saints down? I don't understand. Luckily for them, though, this is a home game, and it's against a really bad team. I know the Buccaneers are coming off a surprising victory over the Saints, over the Steelers last week. But for the Saints have Super Bowl hopes. I don't think the Steelers really have those same Super Bowl hopes or had the same Super Bowl hopes that the Saints did from the beginning of the season. It's still a big game for the Saints because if they can get their ship righted, start gaining some confidence, they do have more home games towards the end of the season, they can start building through there. I think this is a big game for Drew Brees and the Saints. But with that, we're going to get into another one of the 1 o'clock games. We're going to bring in friend of the program from NJ.com, Charles Curtis. How are you doing this morning, Charles? Charles, are you there? I'm having a little bit of difficulty bringing in Charles. Charles, are you there? Hello, caller. Caller from the 917. All right. I apologize for the technical difficulties. We're going to try and bring in Charles as soon here. Charles, are you there? Hello, Charles. Thanks. All right, let's try something else with...
Hey, you reached Charles. I can't come to the phone right now, but if you leave your name and phone number, I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up.
Good morning, Charles Curtis. Are you there? All right. I apologize. We're going to try and getting Charles one more. Hello, Charles. Hello, Charles. Are you there? All right, I apologize. We will work on getting Charles in at some point. If not this week, then throughout the week. but let's move into the New York Giants. They do have a big game, and it feels like it. The one thing that bothers me with the Thursday night games is that it feels so long until their next game. So it's 10 days. So where you're already, then you have to go through a whole Sunday of football. You have to go through a Monday night football. You have to go through a Thursday night. So there's three different days of NFL football that is being broadcasted that you have to wait for. And that's not even a bye. At least with a bye, you know that there's going to be a week that you're not going to see them, to see a team. But when they have to play a game in a week and then you're waiting another 10 days, it really does throw off your views a little bit. The Giants coming off a big Thursday night victory over the Washington football team 10 days ago. Which Giants team are we going to see moving forward? It's really, really difficult to see because the Giants were so bad in the first 2 weeks. But they've looked so good over the last two. Which Giants, and I don't know if there's a direct answer based on picking out, okay, they're going to look like the team that we saw last week against Washington. Because that's not who the Giants are, and that's not who the Giants are going to be playing for the rest of the year. I think the Washington team is a bad team. I think they're more like the team that played against Houston. Because I do think that Houston is a better team that is among the upper half of the NFL teams. And Charles, are you there? All right. I apologize once again. We've got real technical issues going on here. But I do think that the Texans are the game against the Texans is a good feel for how you're going to see the Giants moving forward. And if there's one thing, I don't know what it is about some of these NFC South teams, but the Saints are a terrible road team, and so are the Atlanta Falcons. And I don't know if maybe it was just that the Falcons haven't played very good teams at home. One of those was the really bad road team, New Orleans Saints. But I don't see what everyone else sees in the Atlanta Falcons. I think their offensive line is the worst offensive line in the NFL. Now, part of that is because of injury, but you have to play with who's available to be played. And right now, that's the worst offensive line in the entire NFL. Last week, they ended up having four healthy offensive linemen by the end of the game. They needed their tight end, Levine Toilolo, to play tackle. That's how decimated the Atlanta Falcons are with injuries on that offensive line. They lost their left tackle, Sam Baker, in preseason. He's out for the year. They lost their center, Joe Hawley. He's out for the year. They don't have very good guards. And they're moving their rookie right tackle, Jake Matthews, over to left. And I thought that Jake Matthews would have benefited from a full year at right tackle before jumping over to left. And I think he'll be capable, but I don't think he's among the top 16 left tackles in the NFL right now. So I think that what you're going to see is a heavy dose of pass rush from the Giants. And I think you're going to see blitzing, because the only way the Falcons are going to beat you, in my opinion, is if teams allow Julio Jones, Devin Hester to get behind them. And I don't see Perry Fuel and the Giants allowing that to happen this week. I think that you're going to see a big dose of a pass rush. You're going to see, even if they just rush four, I think they're going to have success. Look for someone like Jonathan Hankins to at least have a sack. If they're worried about those outside pass rushers, I can see the Giants putting up at least four sacks today. I can see Hankins getting one. I can see DeMontre Moore getting one, Jason Pierre-Paul getting one, and we'll even throw in one for Mathias Kiwanuka. I think the Giants get at least four sacks today, and they really rattle Matt Ryan. I think the Giants are one of my better bets of the week, and I think the Giants win by at least 10 points today. Moving on in the NFL 1 o'clock schedule, got the Rams and the Eagles. The 1-2 Rams with Austin Davis going into Philadelphia to play the 3-1 Philadelphia Eagles. It's almost a no-brainer, right? Not so fast, in the words of Lee Corso. The only thing is that I'm going to get this right, and Lee Corso doesn't. The St. Louis Rams are going to beat the Philadelphia Eagles today. Austin Davis is playing smart football. The Rams' defense has underperformed so far, but they're better than they've shown. And they're going to take the film because they have a very similar physicality to their defense that the 49ers have. And they're going to take that film that they saw the 49ers manhandle the Eagles on that side of the ball. And they're going to use that to their advantage. I think you see a big game from Zach Stacy. And I think you see a big game from Jared Cook on the Eagles' offensive side of the ball. On the Rams' side of the ball. I think this has trap written all over it for the Eagles. And Nick Foles hasn't looked good. He's looked good for 3 second halves. That's it. Because the first halves of the first three games, he did not look good. He's looked good in the second half of three games, and he looked awful last week. There's even talks about, is Mark Sanchez better to run this offense than Nick Foles? Mark Sanchez, this is the guy that we all know for the butt fumble. And people are asking whether or not Mark Sanchez is the better quarterback to fit this Chip Kelly offense. Keep that in mind. I'm taking the Rams. Then we move down south to Nashville, Tennessee, where the Cleveland Browns will invade the Tennessee Titans. They'll come in. The Browns at 1-2, the Titans at 1-3. The Browns coming off a bye. They're getting nice and healthy. Ben Tate's coming back. Brian Hoyer getting another. They're sticking with Hoyer. I don't know for how much longer, because if the Browns put up a couple more losses, then you're going to hear everyone yelling for Johnny Manziel. But at this point, I think the Cleveland Browns are a much better team than the Tennessee Titans. And I think that the Browns go on the road and come away with a win. Steelers, they couldn't have asked for a better remedy off of last week's embarrassing loss to Tampa Bay. What better remedy is there in the NFL? Maybe the Raiders, but then the Jacksonville Jaguars. In fact, the Raiders are probably a better remedy because of the quarterback situation. I like Blake Bortles, and I think Blake Bortles is going to put up some points today. I don't think this is going to be a blowout. I think this is going to be a pretty high-scoring game because I don't think the Steelers' defense is all that great, especially with the injuries with Ryan Shazier, Jarvis Jones, Ike Taylor. Those are three key players in their defense. All three of them are out. I think the Jaguars are going to be able to put up some points because Blake Bortles is throwing the ball well, and you're seeing guys like Allen Hurns, Allen Robinson, even someone like Clay Harbor. Keep that name in mind. Really coming on and surprising people. They're able to put up some okay numbers. It's just their defense is what I thought the Dallas Cowboys defense was going to be. That's how bad the Jaguars have been. Pittsburgh goes down to Florida, comes away with a win. A matchup of two surprising 2-2 teams. Chicago Bears go into Carolina to take on the Panthers. I thought the Bears would be better. I thought the Panthers would be worse. They're both coming in at 2-2. I just think the Bears are a better team. I think that the first 2 weeks were an anomaly for the Panthers. Their front seven is good, but without Greg Hardy, it's not as good as it was. And that secondary is pitiful. And I think we're going to see big games from Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Martellus Bennett. I think all three of them have nice days today. And the Bears go on the road, come away with a win. Matchup of two surprising 3-1 teams, the Houston Texans, Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys, I've really got to give them credit, because I thought the Cowboys were going to be one of those awful teams in the NFL this year. I thought they were going to be a top five pick in the draft next year. But I was wrong. And the real reason why I've been wrong has been the Cowboys' offensive line. I knew it was a good offensive line. I just didn't think it was going to be as dominant on the run as it has been. And sure, we all think that DeMarco Murray has the chance to get injured, because DeMarco Murray has gotten injured every year. But the way that this offensive line has been playing, they're not allowing those big hits. They're not allowing the unblocked players to come through and put a licking on DeMarco Murray. DeMarco Murray has been the MVP of the National Football League through the first 4 weeks. I know you hear all this talk about Phillip Rivers. There's still Peyton Manning. No, DeMarco Murray has been the MVP of the National Football League so far. It's plain and simple. But I think this is the Texans have not put up. They've had troubles against the run. So I think DeMarco Murray is going to be able to have a nice game. But what I think you're going to see is the Houston Texans give it right back to them. I think that I can see this being a low-scoring game, because I can see both offenses in bulk ball control mode. I can see this being somewhere in the 17-24 for both teams. Just because I think you aren't going to see a lot of offensive possessions. And I think the team that makes more mistakes is going to be the team that loses. And I know Tony Romo's been playing better this year, but I still think that he's the one who, if I had to pick someone who's going to make a mistake, I think it's going to be him. I like the Texans on the road. They go from the first pick in the NFL draft to 4-1. Then we head up north to Detroit. The 2-2 Buffalo Bills come into the 3-1 Detroit Lions. Buffalo making a big splash earlier this week. Quarterback change. Last year's number one draft pick, E.J. Manuel, benched in favor of Kyle Orton. And at first I was a little skeptical about this game, and it made me think a little bit because of what Sammy Watkins said. When Sammy Watkins was praising Kyle Orton, saying how quickly the ball comes out, how more efficiently the offenses run in practice. He did not have any glowing words for E.J. Manuel. All it was how much better he thinks the offense is going to be under Kyle Orton. And I think it may be. It really can't get much worse. But I really like the Lions, and I especially like the way the Lions' defense has been playing. And they're much better at home than they are on the road, and they had a real good game last week on the road against the Jets. This Lions defense is really good. They're getting plays from their secondary, which they needed, but that front seven is legit. I like the Lions over the Bills, and the Lions go to 4-1. Baltimore, the Baltimore Ravens, 3-1, coming off a big inspirational victory over the Carolina Panthers last week. They invade Indianapolis to take on the Colts. Andrew Luck's playing at a different level. Andrew Luck is another one of those guys who could be the MVP. And if the Colts were 3-1 instead of 2-2, Andrew Luck would be the leader for MVP, in my mind. He's just playing at an absolute different level than everybody else. And this is the level that we thought Andrew Luck was going to be when he was taken number one overall. The Ravens, I can see this being a letdown game. After last week's inspirational victory over the Carolina Panthers for their big guy Steve Smith. And I think this is going to be a high scoring game. I think Andrew Luck is going to put up points no matter what. That's how well he's playing. And I like Joe Flacco in this game. I think he's going to put up a lot of points too. But I think the home field advantage is going to come through in the end. And I think the Colts take this one over the 3-1 Ravens. Both teams go to 3-2. This one is the game of the day, in my opinion. Denver Broncos at 2-1 take on the Arizona Cardinals at 3-0. The Cardinals defense, both teams are coming off byes. The Cardinals defense is really good. But I don't think they're ready for Peyton Manning with an extra week of preparation and at home. I don't think that if this were Carson Palmer instead of Drew Stanton, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Drew Stanton, but he isn't a real starting quarterback in the NFL. Peyton Manning's one of the best of all time. And I don't think that the defensive advantage that the Cardinals have over the Broncos is as great as the offensive advantage that the Broncos have over the Cardinals. I just don't see it. I think the Broncos, and I really think that this is going to be a blowout. I think this is at least a two-touchdown game. Two-touchdown game. Mark it. Let's get a timestamp. We are at 49 minutes and 30 seconds. We're timestamping this. And we're going to see the Denver Broncos at least two-touchdown victors over the Arizona Cardinals. The 3-1 Chargers will host the 1-3 Jets. Phillip Rivers is playing mistake-free football. He's playing among the best football he's ever played in his life. And the Jets' offense is in shambles. And the Jets' secondary is in shambles. The last 2 weeks, I've been all over trying to play Donald Brown in my FanDuel, and it's burned me because he hasn't performed as well as, and you can't ask him to perform against the Jets, who are top two in the NFL against the run. But I think this is another big week for Phillip Rivers, for Keenan Allen, for Eddie Royal. And I think the Chargers come away with the victory. Here's another really good match. The battle for Joe Montana. The Kansas City Chiefs head into Levi's Stadium, take on the San Francisco 49ers. These were two teams that I picked at the beginning of the season to be teams that took a step backwards from last year. And they have, to a certain extent. 2-2 is a step backward. And one of the teams is going to be 2-3. I'm going based on what, again, this is a now league. What did I see more recently? And I saw the Kansas City Chiefs put an absolute whooping on the Patriots. And I saw the Niners eke out a win against the Eagles. Now, the Eagles are a better team than the Patriots. But I think the Chiefs are playing much better football than the San Francisco 49ers are right now. The return of Jamaal Charles, I think, is really having an impact on the Chiefs. It had a major impact last week against the Patriots. Having Jamaal Charles back there has allowed Alex Smith to get back to the type of play that he's used to. The screens, the flats, and having the defenders needing to defend the flats more than what you're used to seeing is opening up the middle of the field. And I think we're going to see Dwayne Bowe start to play better. Someone like a Donnie Avery come out and start to play better. I think the Chiefs come out of this one on the road with a victory against the 49ers. Sunday night game. Now, at the beginning of the season, I think that NBC was drooling over having this game. And so far, the Bengals have lived up to their end. I think they're the best team in the NFL right now. They're at least the best team in the AFC. But what has happened to the Patriots? It's confusing because they've been so good for so long and they still have Tom Brady and they still have Rob Gronkowski and they still have their running backs, but this just is not the same Patriots team. Julian Edelman is not supposed to be a number one. That's just not what Julian Edelman is built for. Julian Edelman is built to be a two or a three where he can thrive in the slot. But the Patriots don't have anything else. All right, Aaron Dobson is inactive because of him getting into, and I'm starting to get sick of these Bill Belichick press conferences. I used to think they were funny. Now I'm just starting to get sick of them. Aaron Dobson is inactive because of him arguing with offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels. The Patriots are a mess right now. And the Cincinnati Bengals are not the team you want to be playing against if you're a mess. The Bengals go into Foxborough on Sunday night, come away with a victory. And wrapping up week five, we got the Seattle Seahawks going into Washington. We don't need to spend a lot of time on this one. The Seahawks, big time. Washington, just they're not a good football team. And for those of you that thought that Kirk Cousins was going to keep the job even when Robert Griffin III came back from injury, you're wrong. This is Robert Griffin's team, and Kirk Cousins showed you why he's not ready to take on being a full-time starting quarterback in the NFL. He's a really good backup. He's someone that you want to have as your backup, but he's not someone you want to have as your starter. Once RG3 comes back, it is going to be his team. But what team is that going to be? Because they're going to be 1-4 after this week. There's no way the Seahawks come away with this loser. All right, let's get into to our fantasy portion of the program. We're going to do studs, duds, and sleepers, and we're also going to I'm going to get into my FanDuel lineup for this week. I did, for the first time, a week long, so I included the Thursday games. But let's go over what my lineup is for this week. I had a good week last week. I was a winner last week. but my Sunday lineup for this week, at quarterback, I was thinking about going either real expensive or real cheap. But I didn't really like my options. So I went middle of the road, and I went Joe Flacco, because I don't think the Colts secondary is very good. I think Flacco is going to put up some real good numbers. And he's only coming in at $7,500. That's a reasonable price for an upside play this week. Again, they're playing on a field turf, so they're going to be able to play fast. The Ravens' running game hasn't really established themselves, even though I still do think Lorenzo Taliaferro is the guy you want to own if you're in season long. Lorenzo Taliaferro is the guy you want to own, because by week 8, he'll be the full-time starting running back in Baltimore. At running back, I went real expensive, and then I went middle of the road, but the middle of the road guy that I have is all upside, because I think Rashad Jennings is going to have a huge game against this Atlanta, the Atlanta Falcons defense. We saw what the Vikings did to them last week. Matt Asiata had a big game and had 3 touchdowns. We saw Jerick McKinnon go over 100 yards. This Atlanta defense is not good, especially in the trenches. Rashad Jennings has a huge game today. And I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see terrific numbers from Eli, because I think that the Giants are going to just try and run the ball and run the ball and run the ball some more. Rashad Jennings, I think, is one of the best plays of the week. And then I went to Marco Murray, because look at what the last time Rashad Jennings went off, he went off against the Houston Texans. DeMarco Murray's been the MVP of the NFL this year, again, in my opinion. But I don't think it stops here. So I went to DeMarco Murray at 9,000. I took another $9,000 player at wide receiver. I went with Antonio Brown. He's been the best receiver in the NFL. And FanDuel plays a half point PPR. And anytime you can get any type of points for a reception, Antonio Brown has to be picked. Because Antonio Brown will get the ball no matter what. 20 games in a row, he's had at least 5 receptions. 20 games in a row, at least 5 receptions. Him and Ben Roethlisberger are just so in sync right now that Roethlisberger doesn't even need to look. He just knows where Antonio Brown's going to be. It's going to have to take me going real expensive in other positions for me to not take Antonio Brown on a weekly basis. I know he's going to cost a lot of money, but you know he's going to put up the numbers. And when you take those big-ticket players, they have to produce. And Antonio Brown will produce against this pitiful Jacksonville Jaguars defense. At my wide receiver two, I went Steve Smith. Pair him up with Joe Flacco. Let's get some double points for those touchdowns. I hope this isn't a letdown game. And Steve Smith is not the person who's going to have a letdown. That's just not the way Steve Smith plays. And he's been probably Steve Smith has been the fantasy MVP of the year. MVP so far. But just based on value of where they were picked. Steve Smith coming in at 7,200, so he's a middle-of-the-road guy. And my wide receiver three is just someone who I've constantly believed in. And he hasn't come through in a huge way so far. But again, he's aside from one game where he was shut down by Joe Hayden, Marcus Colston has been involved in the Saints offense. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers they're not good defensively. And you look at what number one receivers have done against them, and they've put up big numbers. And Marcus Colston's only coming in at a $5,500 salary. So I think that's a bargain for someone who has as much upside as Colston does. So I decided to go with Colston at $5,500. Being the fact that I did take a $9,000 running back and wide receiver, I had to go a little cheaper at tight end. And I decided to go Clay Harbor, tight end for Jacksonville. So with Mercedes Lewis out for 8 weeks, Clay Harbor is going to be heavily involved. And last week, 6 receptions on 8 targets. So and the ineffectiveness of the Jaguars' running game is just going to make Blake Bortles throw the ball more often. And there are plenty mouths to feed there, but there's going to be enough targets to go around. And that only 5,000, I think Clay Harbor has as much upside as any other tight end does this week. Yeah, again, I don't think the Steelers' defense is all that great, and especially with them losing Jarvis Jones, who's their best pass-rushing linebacker, and losing Ryan Shazier, who's their best cover linebacker, I think that opens up the middle of the field for Clay Harbor to have a nice game today. Kicker, I decided to go Sean Sweejum, only because I like to take advantage of bad defenses. And Swisham's been real good so far this year. The Jaguars, you know, aren't going to stop the Steelers very often. He's going to have, it may be only extra points, but you know he's going to get a guaranteed 4 or 5 points. Any field goals are just bonuses. And I went with the Lions defense. The Lions defense has been playing very well. They're one of the cheaper defenses at only $4,800. They've been causing turnovers. They've been getting sacks. And I think that the Buffalo Bills, again, they're making the quarterback change. Who knows? They may play very conservative in Kyle Orton's first game. I think that, and at home, the Lions defense plays much better at home. I think they've got a chance to make some plays this week. So, once again, my FanDuel lineup for my Sunday-only games. Got Joe Flacco at quarterback, DeMarco Murray, Rashad Jennings at running back, Antonio Brown, Steve Smith, Marcus Colston at wide receiver, Clay Harbor at tight end, Sean Swisham as my kicker, and the Lions defense rounding up my lineup. Studs, duds, and sleepers. My stud of the week is going to be Ben Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger going against the putrid Jaguar defense. Again, I said I think that him and Antonio Brown have a big week together. And I see at least three touchdowns. At least three touchdowns for Ben Roethlisberger. My dud of the week, Tony Romo. And I don't want you all thinking that this is a Giant fan picking on the Cowboys. There's something about this game. I can see Tony Romo making mistakes. Only because we haven't seen them yet. And when we haven't seen the mistakes come from Tony Romo, that's when they normally start coming. And I think that they're going to want to establish the run more often against a not very good Texans run defense. And I don't see Romo putting up enough passes to be worthy of a top 12 play this week. So I think Tony Romo, my dud of the week. My sleeper, going to be Blake Bortles. Yeah, I said it during the breakdown of the Steelers-Jaguars game. I think there's going to be points put up. I said it during my FanDuel. I think Blake Bortles is going to, and he may throw some picks. He may throw two picks today. But he's still going to throw the ball enough, and I think he's good enough to put up some nice points. So if you are looking for a decent, cheap option at quarterback, I do like Blake Bortles this week as my sleeper quarterback. Over at wide receiver, my stud of the week, I'm using him. I talked about Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown will have at least 100 yards and a touchdown, possibly two. My dud of the week, A.J. Green. I think that I just really think that with what A.J. Green, I know he had a week to rest, to get healthy from his ankle injury. But what kills the Patriots is their inability to stop the run. And with Hugh Jackson at the helm, the Cincinnati Bengals are going to run the ball and run the ball and run the ball some more. So I think AJ Green, there's a chance that Marvin Jones comes back today. So I think that may take some targets away from A.J. Green. And A.J. Green is going to see Darrelle Revis. So I can see A.J. Green being someone, if you have him, you're starting him, but don't expect the big numbers. And my sleeper wide receiver of the week, Odell Beckham Jr. You go on some of these Giants players' Facebook pages, Twitter pages, and you see what they're all saying about what Odell Beckham has brought to practice this week. I think that the Giants are going to have plays that are going to be designed just for Odell Beckham to succeed. I wouldn't be surprised if you see a big play from Beckham, him getting at least 80 total yards and a touchdown. So maybe you have someone like a Mike Wallace on a bye, and you have an open flex spot. You've been hit by injuries. Odell Beckham's out on the waiver wire. Look out for Odell Beckham today. Another sleeper that I like, by the way, John Brown. John Brown, the wide receiver from the Arizona Cardinals. You know that the Cardinals are going to want to have to – they're going to have to throw the ball. And – There's just seemed to be a good chemistry between Drew Stanton and John Brown. I think John Brown ends up being the second highest fantasy scorer at wide receiver for the Cardinals over Larry Fitzgerald, even by the time the year ends. I think Michael Floyd is their top guy, and I think John Brown finishes at number two. So I really like John Brown this week also as a cheap option. Over at running back, my stud of the week is going to be DeMarco Murray. You got to stick with the guy who's been hot hand. And as I said, he really has been he's been the MVP. The Cowboys' offensive line has been one of the surprising stories of the NFL this year. And is the offensive line, I think, is the real reason that the Cowboys are sitting at 3-1. My dud of the week, I'm going to go with I'm going to go with LeSean McCoy. I'm going to go with LeSean McCoy as my dud of the week. Because you know what? He's been the dud of the year so far. And I don't see that changing against a good rushing defense with the St. Louis Rams. And again, remember, I picked the Rams to win this game. And one of the reasons why I think they're going to win this game is I think they're going to be able to shut down LeSean McCoy again. My sleeper of the week. is going to be Ben Tate. Because Ben Tate hasn't really, he's played a couple series so far. Ben Tate hasn't, he's making his return from the injury. Isaiah Crowell, Terrence West did a nice job filling in for him while he was out. But not enough people are talking about the fact that Ben Tate is still the guy. He's still the go-to guy in the running game for the Cleveland Browns. And without a superstar quarterback, you have to rely on a running game, especially with a team that has a really good offensive line. Ben Tate going to be my sleeper pick of the week for running backs. All right, we're going to shift our attention real quick before the end of the show. We're going to talk a little bit of MLB playoffs and the craziness that's happened so far. You saw last night, 18 innings, over 6 hours. The Giants walk away with a 2-1 victory over the Washington Nationals. What a defensive, a pitching performance by both teams. The guy that you really have to give a lot of credit to is Yusimero Petit from the Giants. What a job he did in relief. You got to give credit to both bullpens. Both bullpens were just spectacular. And it's fun because it ended up being one of the Nationals' best pitchers throughout the year, Tanner Roark, who gives up the game-winning home run to Brandon Belt. If you didn't see my predictions, I posted my MLB postseason predictions on our Facebook page earlier this week. I had predicted the Giants and Dodgers to come out of their series, and I predicted the Angels and the Orioles to come out of their series. Going to the World Series, I had Dodgers and Orioles, and I have the Dodgers winning the World Series. And so far, it's looked pretty good, except for the Angels. And even though I picked the Angels, I'm real happy. I'm excited for the Kansas City Royals. It's funny when you can say that a team hadn't made the playoffs in my wife's existence. My wife is 28. This was 29 years that the Royals went without. 85 was their last playoff berth. My wife was born in 86. So it's the first time in a lot of people's existence that the Kansas City Royals are in the playoffs. And I'm going to root for them. They're going to be a team that I root for, especially in the American League. I also really like the way that the Orioles have been playing. They're a team you can root for. They've got and that home crowd is awesome. There's something special about that home crowd at Baltimore, and that's an awesome ballpark. For those of you who have never been to Camden Yards, and I know I'm not saying go there for a playoff game right now, but get to Camden Yards. That is an awesome experience. I went three, 4 years ago. The Mets played a series down in Baltimore over the weekend, went down, and the sight lines are great. The experience is great. What they have going on in the outfield is just, it really is an awesome ballpark. And you see how loud and into the game they got. And even after the game, the game had ended and TBS is sticking around to wrap up their coverage. And 20 minutes after the game, and they're still all in the stands doing their chants. It's real cool to see what's going on in Baltimore, and I would love to see a Baltimore-Kansas City ALCS. because who picked the Orioles? Oh, yeah, that's right. I picked the Orioles at the beginning of the season. But I didn't pick the Royals. I thought that they'd be a team to watch. I said at the beginning of the year, I thought that they were a year away from making the... But, hey, they had a terrific second half. And they're a fun team to watch, especially if you like small ball. And coming from... I coach a 14-year-old baseball team, and we're not blessed with a lot of power hitters. So we play a lot of small ball. I love coaching that aspect of the game. So watching what the Royals are doing, they're almost playing like the team that I coach, and they're fun to watch. So a Royals-Orioles ALCS, a lot of people would be turned off by that because you're not seeing any of the big names. There's no Yankees. There's no Red Sox. There's no Angels. There's no Tigers. That's something I want to watch. I want to watch the Royals and the Orioles because I think that it's good for the game. The Royals and Orioles ALCS is good for the game. Over in the National League, it sure seems like the Giants are going to take care of business against the Nationals. I picked it. But what a series this Dodgers-Cardinals series is turning out to be. One thing that you have to be worried if you're a Dodger fan is you staked Clayton Kershaw to a 5-run lead against Adam Wainwright. And you lost the game. That's got to worry you. What Matt Carpenter has done has to worry you a little bit. But I think the Dodgers are just too deep. I wouldn't have picked them to win the World Series if I didn't think that they could win a series that they were tied 1-1 going into St. Louis. I just think they're too deep. And John Lackey has been real hit or miss. And I think the Dodgers will take game three. And then all you need is a better performance out of Clayton Kershaw. And I think the Dodgers will end up winning. But you look at the two, if the Dodgers and Giants meet each other, look at those two ALCSs that we're probably going to see. You're going to see one of the greatest rivalries in all of sports, the Dodgers and Giants. I mean, that's Yankees-Red Sox. That's Ohio State-Michigan. That's Duke-North Carolina. That's what the Giants and Dodgers are. And they've done it on both coasts. They were, when it was the New York Giants and Brooklyn Dodgers, it was the same back then, too. So you're going to have one of the greatest rivalries in all of sports, and then you're going to have the Royals and Orioles, two young, upstart, just exciting teams to watch. If you have those, my eyes are glued, and we all know that hockey begins this week. The regular season begins this week. That's must-see TV. If you get those two series, it's must-see TV. Want to thank Charles Curtis for trying to join us earlier in the broadcast. Everyone check out his work on NJ.com. Follow him on Twitter at CharlesCurtis82. Again, follow me on Twitter at R33BSP. That BSP is for Backsports Page. Make sure you check out BacksportsPage.com. Follow him on Twitter at Backsports Page. Go to Facebook.com/Backsports Page. Follow this show, Beyond the Bench, on Twitter at Beyond the Bench. Go to facebook.com/BeyondTheBenchBSP. Next week, we'll be getting into week six. We'll have the championship series in baseball all set. Maybe get guests on to talk some baseball next week. And as always, we'll have your NFL and fantasy football commentary coming your way. So until then, I hope everyone wins big in their fantasy leagues this week, except if you're going against me. And until then, I hope everyone has a nice day.